Let's continue with Sharh Sunnah of Imam Al-Barbahari rahimahullah. Then last time we had point number 66 with regard to the point that if you hear a person speaking against the authentic narrations, you hear a person speaking against those ahadith that are authentic, as the saying of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not accepting them or denying anything from them, then have doubt about his Islam, because he is a person upon despicable opinion, a lowly and despicable opinion, and has a lowly and despicable sin. To the end of the point. So amongst, I'll just mention some of the points from the explanation of Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, from what he mentioned, was that because if anyone who speaks against the authentic narration from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then no doubt you have to have doubt about his Islam. He said, since from the very testification, the Shahada, and Muhammad Rasulullah, the testification that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, what is its meaning? Its meaning is what? It is to obey him. When you state that you believe that Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is Allah's Messenger, what are you saying? You're stating, and what it covers, and it's binding upon you, is to obey him in whatever he commands you with. And to believe him with regard to whatever he informs of. And to avoid whatever he forbade and prohibited. And that Allah is not worshipped except with what he legislated. So this is the meaning of and is what is necessitated by your testifying that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. So as soon as something is authentic from him, you have to attest to it and believe it and not reject it. So Sheikh Al-Fawzan made the point that it is therefore not permissible for a person to say that I will only accept his evidence of the Quran and I will not accept the Sunnah. And that this is the saying of the Khawarij. Saying of the deviant sects is their saying, such as the Khawarij and their like. And this is falsehood. Rather, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged his companions to retain his hadith, to memorize his hadith, and to pass them on to the next generation and to convey them. And as Sheikh Al-Fawzan mentioned, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not speak, he mentioned the ayah, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not speak from his own desires, rather it is revelation inspired. So Sheikh Al-Fawzan says, so his ahadith are revelation from Allah. The wordings are from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, the hadith, what he's saying, is from Allah the Most High. He conveys from his Lord. And is protected from any error in that regard. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, therefore, that it is not the ahadith of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that which is authentic from them, are not open to any doubt at all. And so whoever denies the Sunnah, whoever denies it, then he is a kafir, a disbeliever. Because he has rejected the second fundamental evidence of Islam. The Qur'an, then the Sunnah, and then thirdly the Ijma' consensus. So he has rejected the second of these. And he mentioned the point that there are many things in the Qur'an, many commands in the Qur'an, such as the command to pray, the command to give zakat, the command to make hajj. How to perform them? It would not be possible for a person to perform them correctly except by looking into the Sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For he is the one who explained how to pray, how to perform hajj, how much zakat to give, upon what level of wealth and the like. All of that you will only find in the Sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his companions, take from me your rights of performing hajj. And he said, pray as you've seen me pray. And Ramadan quoted the ayah, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ Surah Al-Ahzab, 33rd Surah, ayah 21, with explanation, you have a fine pattern of conduct to follow in Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise he said, and the Qur'an is explained by the Sunnah and clarified by the Sunnah. So therefore a person who says, as some people say, I will follow the Qur'an only, I'll stick and follow the Qur'an, and I won't follow the Sunnah. He said that he's lying. That person is lying. He will not be able to follow and apply many of the commands in the Qur'an, and he is disobeying the Qur'an in many of the commands there, such as the command, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نُهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَامْتَنُوا The command from Allah the Most High, and whatever the Messenger gives you, then accept it. This is the Qur'an. وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نُهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَامْتَنُوا Whatever the Messenger from Allah gives you, then accept it. And he rejects it. That person will be rejecting it. The rest of the ayahs. And then Shaykh Fawzan touched upon those people who say, we'll accept certain hadith with certain conditions and reject others which do not match that condition. And this, as the Shaykh said, is false and futile, batil. He also mentioned the point that there is no attack to be made upon Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor upon any of his companions. It's not permissible to make any attack upon them. For they are over and above being any attack being made upon them, rendered secure by Allah the Most High in that regard. And the companions, he might be quoted in many ayahs, with regard to Allah the Most High being pleased with the companions. He's pleased with them. And Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying that they are the best of generations. To the end of the hadith, in praise of his companions, those who took the deen from him and passed it on with full trustworthiness. And that those people who make attacks upon them, or make attacks upon those who carried the knowledge from them to each generation, then all they're intending at the end of the day is to demolish Islam. To demolish Islam by attacking those who carried Islam. If we were to allow attacks upon the companions, or upon those who carried the authentic hadith and passed them on, then this would be a demolition of what they carried. The hadith that they carried, and also the Qur'an. Because the whole deen that we have came through them. So an attack upon them is an attack upon the whole deen. Which is what the Jews and their like intend, to undermine Islam by making such attacks upon the companions, or upon those who carried the religion of Islam and passed it on. Then the Imam al-Bahari, rahmahullah, begins a further point, point number 67, that occurs here on page 352. As he said, rahimahullah, وَالْكَلَامُ وَالْجِدَالُ وَالْخُصُومَةُ فِي الْقَدْرِ خَاصَّةً مَنْهِيٌّ عَنْهُ عِنْدَ جَمِيعِ الْفِرَقِ لِأَنَّ الْقَدْرَ سِرُّ اللَّهِ وَنَهَى الرَّبُّ جَلَّ تَعَالَى في بعض النسخ جل اسمه وفي بعضها تبارك وتعالى ونهى الرب جل وتعالى جل تعالى الأنبياء عن الكلام في القدر ونهى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الخصومة في القدر وكرهه أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وكرهه التابعون وكرهه العلماء وأهل الورع ونهوا عن الجدال في القدر فعليك بالتسليم والإقرار والإيمان واعتقاد ما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في جملة الأشياء واسكت عما سوى ذلك الإمام البربهاري رحمه الله said and speech and argumentation and disputing about al-qadr about pre-decree in particular are forbidden with all of the sects. Because pre-decree, al-qadr, is Allah's secret. And the Lord, the Majestic, the Most High, in some wordings, he whose name is Majestic, or in some of the wordings, some narrations, the Majestic and Most High, Allah the Exalted and Most High. He forbade the prophets from speech concerning pre-decree. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade argumentation about pre-decree. And it was detested by the companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and by the Tabi'een. And it was detested by the scholars and by the people of piety. And they forbade argumentation concerning pre-decree al-Qadr. So upon you is to submit, to affirm, to have iman in, and to hold as your belief whatever Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about all matters, and to be silent about other than that. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he said in his explanation, from the fundamentals of iman, true faith, and from the pillars of iman is al-iman bil-qada'i wal-qadr. Is to have iman, to have true faith in preordainment and pre-decree. And al-qada wal-qadr, preordainment and pre-decree, is that Allah, or having said, it is that the events that will occur, or it is, it refers to those events that will occur that Allah has pre-decreed and pre-ordained since eternity. And whatever is going to occur, then Allah pre-decreed it, pre-ordained it since eternity. And everything which occurs, then it does not happen by chance. Chance randomly. Everything that occurs, it doesn't happen just randomly by chance. Or without having been pre-decreed by Allah, the Majestic and Most High. Rather, Allah, the Perfect and Most High, knew whatever was, whatever has been in the past, and whatever will be in the future. Firstly, He knew it. Allah the Most High knew everything that was going to be, everything that was in the past, and whatever was going to be. Allah knew it all. Then He said, then He wrote that in Allah al-Mahfuz, and He wrote that in the preserved tablet. So, أول ما خلق الله القلم قال له اكتب ما هو كائن إلى يوم القيامة فجر القلم بما هو كائن إلى يوم القيامة. He quotes the hadith saying of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first thing that Allah created was the pen. He said to it, write whatever is going to occur until the day of resurrection. So the pen wrote whatever was going to occur until the day of resurrection. In a footnote they mention, this hadith is reported by Abu Dawud in his Sunan, and by a whole list of others, Imam Ahmad, At-Tirmidhi, and others besides. And this hadith is, as a side point, as he says, sahih, authentic by Shaykh al-Albani, and it's a narration of the companion Ubadah ibn al-Samit radiallahu anhu. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the first thing that Allah created was the pen, al-qalam. He said to it, write whatever is going to be until the day of resurrection. So the pen wrote whatever was going to happen until the day of resurrection. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and the creation of the pen was before the creation of the heavens and the earth by 50,000 years. And the throne of Allah, the Majestic and Most High, was upon the water. Now, that also being taken from the authentic hadith, and I mentioned in a footnote, that Muslim reported in his Sahih from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, who said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إن الله تعالى كتب مقادير الخلائق قبل أن يخلق السماوات والأرض في 50,000 سنة قال وعرشه كان وعرشه على الماء. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah the Most High wrote the pre-decreed measures of all the created things. 50,000 years before he created the heavens and the earth. He said, and his arsh, his throne, was upon the water. Sheikh Razan said, so here there has been a problematic point for the scholars. And this point so far is established, both these points of this is established in authentic hadith, that the first thing that Allah created is the pen, and the pen wrote whatever is going to occur until the day of resurrection. And likewise, that was 50,000 years before he created the heavens and the earth. And likewise, that his throne was upon the water. Then, however, Shaykh al-Fawzan, he mentions, so here there has been a problematic point for the scholars. Was the arsh, was the throne created before the pen? Or was the pen created before the arsh, before the throne? It's a point. The scholars mention which was created first. They were both there, both created, but which was created first? He said, and what is correct is that the arsh, the throne, was created before the pen. In a footnote here, they mention that this, the saying that the throne was created first, the arsh, and then the pen was created. They say in the footnote that this is the saying of the majority of the scholars. And you can refer to the book, Bughiyatul Murtad, of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and likewise, Al-Bidayah wa Nihayah of Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, right at the start of Al-Bidayah wa Nihayah. And in that reference, Al-Bidayah wa Nihayah, Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir mentions that the saying that the pen was created first was the saying of some people, and he mentioned it was the saying of Ibn Jarir, a famous Mufassir, Ibn Jarir at Tabari, and it was the saying of Ibn Jawzi, and others besides them. And as for the saying that the throne was created first and then the pen, then this, he mentioned, is the saying of the majority of the scholars. Allahu A'lam. Just as another side point, then, from those famous scholars of these days who said that the throne was created first before the pen was Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah. And from those scholars who said that the pen was created before the throne, then Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah. And there is some difference amongst the people of the Sunnah with regard to which of those two was created first. Allahu Akbar. And the Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, he took a position, as you see, he said, and what is correct is that the throne was created before the pen. And he explains why this is. He said, because at the time when Allah created it, the pen, and commanded it to write whatever was going to be, then his throne was upon the water. And this is why the Al-Allama, the great scholar, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, said, and he quotes four lines of poetry from the famous poem, the famous Numiya of Ibn Qayyim. Said this is why the great scholar Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said, وَالنَّاسُ مُخْتَلِفُونَ فِي الْقَلَمِ الَّذِي كُتِبَ الْقَضَاءُ بِهِ مِنَ الدَّيَّانِ هَلْ كَانَ قَبْلَ الْأَوْشِ أَوْ هُوَ بَعْدَهُ أَوْ لَانِ عِنْدَ عَبِلْ عَلَى الْهَمَضَانِ وَالْحَقُّ أَنَّ الْأَوْشَ كَانَ قَبْلُ لِأَنَّهُ قبل الكتابة كان ذا أو كان وكتابة القلم الشريف تعقبت إيجاده من غير فرق زمان. He said, roughly translated, and the people differ with regard to the pen with which the decreed matters were written by the great recompenser, by Allah the Most High, Ad-Dayyan. Was it before the throne or after it? There are two sayings mentioned by Abu Ala al-Hamadani. And the truth is that the throne was before, because it was there before the writing. Before the writing, it stood upon its supports. And the writing of the honourable pen came afterwards, after it was brought into existence, without any time between. Then Sheikh Fawzan said, and speech with regard to free decree has already preceded. In a general speech with regard to what we need to know with regard to free decree, has already preceded earlier on. You know, remember the four important points, just to summarise, four important points that we need to know with regard to free decree is, firstly, that Allah the Most High knew everything. Al-ilm, that Allah the Most High knew everything it was going to be, how it would be. That everything was not going to be, how it would be if it were to be. That Allah knew everything. Secondly, that Allah wrote everything down that was going to happen in the preserved tablet. Thirdly, that Allah wished whatever occurs to occur. So nothing occurs except that Allah willed it to occur. And fourthly, that Allah created it. So whatever occurs is created by Allah. There's no other creator besides Him. So Shaykh said, in fact what Shaykh Fawzan said, he said, and speech with regard to pre-decree has already preceded. However, what is intended now is the prohibition of delving into it. He's trying to go deeply into pre-decree. That's what's being prohibited here. He said, he's saying, وَالْكَلَامُ وَالْجِدَارُ وَالْخُصُومَةُ فِي الْقَدَرِ خَاصَّةً مَنْهِيٌ عَنْهُ. And speech and argumentation and disputing with regard to qadr, pre-decree, is specifically forbidden. He said, we already have known that iman in pre-decree and preordainment, with its levels, is a pillar from the pillars of iman in Allah, the mighty and majestic. So whoever does not believe in pre-decree and preordainment, he is not a mu'min, he is not a believer, because he has denied a pillar from the pillars of iman. And likewise, it is not permissible to argue about pre-decree and preordainment, to say, why will Allah punish like that? Why does Allah do such and such? As has preceded, it cannot be said why and how. So no objections. No objections are to be made. No queries are to be made. With regard to Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And you are not to enter into preordainment and pre-decree with argumentation, for you will not reach any natija, any result or conclusion. What is upon you is to submit and to have iman, and that you do not enter into any affair from the affairs of Allah. This is not known in the matter of pre-decree, what Allah has pre-decreed to occur. This will not be known except by Allah the Majestic and Most High. And you will not reach any results. If you try and delve into it, you will not reach any results. And therefore it is said, Al-Qadaru Sirrullah. Pre-decree is Allah's secret. The pre-decree is Allah's secret. In a footnote they mention, Ibn Abdul Barr said in his book Al-Istidkar, the scholars said, and the wise people from olden times said, Al-Qadaru Sirrullah, la tanduru fi. They said, pre-decree is Allah's secret thing, so do not look into it. Shaykh Fawzan said, so Allah's secret cannot be reached and cannot be encompassed. So therefore don't try to enter into it. It is upon you to have iman, to believe in whatever occurs in the texts of the Quran and the Sunnah, and that you stop at that, and that you turn your attention to performing righteous deeds and to leaving off sins and acts of disobedience, and that you do not say, if Allah has decreed that for me, or rather said, you do not say, you shouldn't say this, what follows, if Allah has decreed for me that I am from the people of paradise, then I'll be from the people of paradise, even if I don't do any action. And if Allah has decreed for me that I am to be from the people of the fire, then I will certainly be from the people of the fire. So I'll leave it at that. Like the Shaykh said, so this is false speech. Kalam al-Batil, false and futile speech. I should not say the like of that. I'm not going to bother with actions. Allah's written me amongst the people of paradise, I'll be there. If he's written me amongst people of the fire, there's nothing I can do about it, so likewise I'm not going to do any action, no need. The Shaykh said, it's Kalam al-Batil, false and futile speech. It should not be said. He said, so it is not permissible to enter into the like of the... He says, it's not permissible to enter into these affairs. Because this is not the business of the servants. This is Allah's affair. Your business is to act. This is what is required from you. As for entering into preordainment and pre-decree, then it is to enter into a maze or a labyrinth from which the servant will never emerge. If you enter into that, how is this? Why has Allah pre-decreed this? And what about this? And if this acts decreed here, then that. If you do that, as soon as you enter, you'll enter a labyrinth or a maze which you'll never come out of. Never reach results, as the Shaykh said before. He said, this is a small side point here, Shaykh Ahmad Najmi, rahimahullah, in his explanation, he makes a point here, something that's very commonly brought by people, a point here with regard to pre-decree, and they say, he mentions this prohibition of delving into pre-decree and asking why and how and the like. He said, the intellect may say, Allah has decreed all the decrees of the creation, and he has made some of the people of bliss, I mean people of paradise, and some of them wretched people, I mean people of the fire. So the wretched people are therefore not able to be people of bliss. And the wretched ones are people of the fire. If they're not able, therefore, it's been decreed for them, they're not able to be people of paradise. The Shaykh said, so at that point, when the person starts thinking like that, then the intellect becomes bewildered. Therefore, it is obligatory to stop, to withhold, and to have iman that Allah does not wrong anyone, he does not oppress anyone from his creation, and he does not punish anyone from them, except with the proof being established. And he quotes the ayah, قُلْ فَلِلَّهِ الْحُجَّةُ الْبَالِغَةُ فَلَوْ شَاءَ لَهَدَاكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ Surah Al-An'am, the 6th Surah, ayah 149, for the explanation, and with Allah is the decisive proof. So if he had wished, he would have guided them, or he would have guided you, all of you. So it indicates sometimes people open the pre-decree to their intellects and start trying to delve into it, and that's prohibited. Back to what Shaykh Fawzan, Hafidhullah, brings, he said, having mentioned that entering into the life of these affairs, must have pre-decree, it's like entering into a labyrinth, entering into a maze. Go round and round and get lost, and you're stuck there, you can't get out. And he said, he's saying, مَنْهِيٌ عَنْهُ عِنْدَ جَمِيعِ الْفِرَقِ لِأَنَّ الْقَدَرَ سِرُّ اللَّهِ, that this is prohibited with all of the sects, because the pre-decree is Allah's secret. Shaykh Fawzan said, with all nations, because pre-decree is the secret of Allah. And a secret cannot be encompassed. Allah the Majestic and Most High says, وَلَا يُحِيثُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. Because the ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah, part of Ayatul Kursi, ayah 255, with the explanation, and they cannot encompass anything from Allah's knowledge except what He wishes. Of course, the second ayah, وَلَا يُحِيثُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا, Surah Taha, the 20th Surah, ayah 110, with the explanation, and they cannot encompass Him, they cannot encompass Allah with their knowledge. Shaykh Fawzan said, do not try to enter into the affairs of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Stick to your own affairs. Stick to righteous deeds and leaving off sins and performing repentance from them. Set your own record in order whilst you're still alive. Occupy yourself with yourself. But as for occupying yourself with pre-decree and preordainment, and with why does such and such occur? Or why did such and such happen? And why does such and such occur? And if Allah has decreed all things, then in that case, I don't need to act. The Shaykh said, all of this is false and futile speech. Don't be doing that. Don't be entertaining such thoughts and ideas. Why does such and such occur? Why do these things occur? Allah decreed everything, then what's the point in me acting? Don't entertain those type of thoughts. Shaykh said, all of this is false and futile speech. There is no value to it. And when the companions said to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, should we not just rely upon what has been written for us, what has been decreed for us, he said, اِعْمَلُوا فَكُلُّمْ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُمْ. When they asked this, if things have been pre-decreed, then shouldn't we just rely upon what's been written for us? Rely upon what's been pre-decreed for us? And the Prophet ﷺ said, rather act, for everyone will have that which he was created for, made easy for him. Shaykh said, so Allah the Most High sent down the ayahs, I mentioned the ayahs, إِنَّ سَعِيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّكَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُمْ لِلْيُسْرَى وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى فَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُمْ لِلْعُسْرَى. Surah Al-Layl, the 92nd Surah, Ayahs 4-10, with the explanation that your deeds are diverse. Your deeds are different, diverse. So as for the one who gives in charity and is dutiful to Allah and believes in Allah's reward, then we will make easy for him acts which are pleasing to Allah. And as for the one who is miserly and thinks himself to be self-sufficient and denies Allah's reward, then we will make easy for him actions which Allah hates. In a footnote they mention this hadith with the question of the companions and the reply of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he recited the ayahs. The hadith being reported by Al-Bukhari in his Sahih, as hadith 6000, the correct reference should be hadith 6605, and Muslim as hadith 2647 from hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu. Then Sheikh Fawzan said, so you should carry out the means. Things have been pre-decreed, but what's upon you is to carry out the means. That's not your concern. What's been pre-decreed is not your concern. What's upon you is to carry out the sabab, the means, either for the salvation of your own soul or for its destruction, by your actions, which you perform by your own choice and your own will. He said, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, كُلُّ النَّاسِ يَغْدُو فَمُؤْتِقُ النَّفْسَهُ أَوْ مُوبِقُهَا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all of the people go out in the morning, and the person then either sets himself free or destroys it. He either sets his soul free or he destroys it. All the two categories of people, one or the other. In a footnote they mention a hadith being reported by Muslim in his Sahih, as hadith 223 from a hadith of Abu Malik al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, his saying, وَنَهَا الرَّبُّ جَلَّ تَعَالَى الْأَنْبِيَاءَ عَلَى الْكَلَامِ فِي الْقَدْرِ. And the Lord, the Majestic, the Most High, forbade the prophets from speech with regard to pre-decree. He said, Allah forbade the creation, the prophets and other than them, from speaking about pre-decree. And it is not mentioned from the Prophets that they ever raised any objection to pre-decree. Because they knew the tremendousness of Allah, the Majestic and Most High, and His wisdom. And they submitted, and they adopted correct manners with respect to Allah, the Majestic and Most High. And they had not used to ask about anything which was not, or which did not contain a point of welfare for them, or a benefit. So then the Prophets would not ask about it. Likewise, the followers of the Prophets would never ask about it. He said, rather the Prophets and their followers used to turn themselves towards action and give attention to it. They have not used to ask about pre-decree and pre-ordainment, for qada wa qadr, except from the aspect of belief and having iman in it. And having iman in pre-decree and pre-ordainment, if you have iman in it, it renders you at peace from doubts and from false ideas and from grief. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, اعلم أن ما أصابك لم يكن ليخطئك وما أخطأك لم يكن ليصيبك. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you should know that whatever befalls you was never going to miss you, and whatever misses you was never going to befall you. In a footnote they mention, this hadith is preceded on page, it says page 292 here, but it should be actually page 319, from a hadith of Ubadah radiallahu anhu, and preceded on page, it says 320, which should say 322, from a hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. And we had the hadith before, that it was a hadith of Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu anhu, reported by Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah, and declared Sahih by Shaykh al-Albani, authentic Sahih by Shaykh al-Albani. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so do not say, if only I had done such and such, then such and such would have been the case. But rather you should say, قَدَرُ اللَّهِ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَى. It was the decree of Allah, and whatever He wishes, He does. If something's happened, don't look back and say, if only I'd done such and such thing, that wouldn't have happened, this would have happened. Don't say that. Rather, instead you should say, it was the decree of Allah, whatever He wishes, He does. And again, this is taken directly from a hadith which I mentioned in the footnote, from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer, and there is good in all of them. Be eager upon that which can benefit you, and seek the aid of Allah. And don't be useless. Don't be incapable. And if something befalls you, then do not say, if only I had done such and such, then such and such would have happened. But rather you should say, قَدَرُ اللَّهِ, it was the decree of Allah, and whatever He wishes, He does. Because saying if only, this opens up the door to the action of Satan. Reported by Muslim in his Sahih, as hadith 2664. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, he's saying, وَنَهَا النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَمْ وَنَهَا النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَمْ عَنِ الْخُصُومَةِ فِي الْقَدْرِ وَكَرِهَهُ أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَمْ وَرَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَكَرِهَهُ التَّابِعُونَ وَكَرِهَهُ الْعُلَمَاءُ وَأَهْلُ الْوَرَى. He said, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade disputing about pre-decree. And the companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or radiallahu anhum, they hated it, they detested it. And the tabi'een, they detested it. And the scholars and the people of piety detested it, arguing about pre-decree. Shaykh Fawzan said, when the Qadariyya, those people denied pre-decree. So when the Qadariyya appeared at the end of the time of the companions, The companions strongly rebuked and refuted them, and warned against them, and made it clear that a servant, what is upon him, is to have iman, to truly believe that whatever befalls him was not going to miss him, and whatever misses him was never going to come to him. And that whoever does not believe this, then Allah will burn him in the fire. In a footnote here, which we mentioned, inshallah, even though it's quite long, but it's the wording of a hadith, which we mentioned from Abdullah ibn Fayruz al-Daylami, who said, something occurred in myself regarding this matter of pre-decree, and I feared that it would corrupt for me my religion and my affair. So therefore I went to Ubay ibn Ka'ab, and I said, Abu Mundhir, something has occurred in myself with regard to this pre-decree, matter of pre-decree. So I feared for my religion and my affair. So tell me something about that, so that hopefully Allah will benefit me through it. So he said, if Allah were to punish all the inhabitants of the heavens and the people of his earth, then he would be punishing them and he would not be being unjust to them. And if he were to be merciful to them, then his mercy would be better for them than their deeds. And if you had the like of the mountain of Uhud in gold, or like the mountain of gold, which is when you spent it in Allah's cause, it would not be accepted from you, unless and until you believed in pre-decree. So that you know that whatever befalls you, whatever happens to you, was not going to miss you. And whatever missed you was not going to come to you. And that if you were to die upon other than this, you will enter the fire. He said, and there will be nothing wrong for you to go to my brother, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, I mean his brother, the companion, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. There was nothing wrong if you go to him and ask him. He said, so I went to Abdullah and I asked him. So he mentioned the same, he mentioned the like of what was mentioned by Ubay. And he said to me, there will be no harm if you go to Hudhayfa. So I went to Hudhayfa and I asked him. So he said the same as the two of them had said. And he said, go to Zayd ibn Thabit and ask him. So I went to Zayd ibn Thabit and I asked him. So he said, I heard Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, if Allah were to punish the inhabitants of his heavens and the inhabitants of his earth, then he would punish them and he would not be wronging them. And if he were to have mercy upon them, then his mercy would be better for them than their deeds. Better for them than their deeds deserve. And if there were, if you had the like of Uhud in gold, or the like of the mount of Uhud in gold, and you spent it in Allah's cause, Allah would not accept it from you until you believed in pre-decree, all of it. So that you know that whatever befalls you was not going to miss you, and whatever misses you was not going to befall you. And that if you were to die upon other than this, you will enter the fire. The hadith. I mentioned it was by Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah, and the wording is his. And declared authentic by Ibn Hibban and by Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab in Kitab al-Tawheed. And likewise declared Sahih by Shaykh al-Albani as well. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, moving on, he's saying, or rather he said, continuing, so upon this their sayings were united. When the sect of the Qadariyya appeared in their time, he's saying, فَعَلَيْكَ بِالْتَسْلِيمِ وَالْإِقْرَارِ وَالْإِيمَانِ, so upon you is to submit and to affirm and to have iman. He said, Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is what is obligatory upon you with regard to pre-decree and preordainment. Submission to the preordainment of Allah and his pre-decree, and not to raise objections to it. And that you believe, you have as your aqidah, your creed and belief, that Allah does not do anything except for a wise purpose. and that he does not punish anyone except on account of his deeds. So any deficiencies are with you. Any deficiencies are from you. So instead of blaming pre-decree, you should blame yourself. And you should repent to Allah. So no one can prevent repentance, tawbah. And Allah accepts repentance from those who repent. So why do you then occupy yourself with something which will have no benefit for you? So upon you is to submit and to yield and comply, and not to enter into that which is not your concern. And it occurs in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Min husn islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi." That from the excellence of a person's Islam is that he leaves off that which is not his concern. In a footnote they mentioned, reported by Tirmidhi, and he said it's a gharib, and by Ibn Majah, and Al-Bayhaqi in Shu'ub al-Iman, and Ibn Hibban, and others from a hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. As a side point, there's some speech with regard to the scholars about the authenticity of this hadith, and some of them don't accept the hadith being authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as for Shaykh al-Albani, then he declared the hadith sahih. He's checking out Tirmidhi, the hadith being sahih from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wallahu a'lam. Then Shaykh Fawzan continued his saying, وَاَعْتِقَادِ مَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي جُمْلَةِ الْأَشْيَاءِ وَاسْكُتْ عَمَّا سِوَى ذَلِكَ. And believing whatever Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about all matters, and be silent about whatever is besides that. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning believe whatever the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. The one who does not speak from his own desires, and do not make accusations against the ahadith, or raise doubts about them, as long as they are established from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they are not an arena for hesitation. Then he quotes the ayah, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِيمَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتُ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Surah An-Nisa, the 4th surah, ayah 65, with the explanation. So know by your Lord, they will not believe. They will not be believers until they make you, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, judge in whatever disputes occur between them. Then they do not find any difficulty in themselves from that which you have decreed, from that which you have, the judgment you have passed. But they accept with full submission. Because the further ayah, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. Surah Al-Ahzab, the 33rd surah, ayah 36, with the explanation, and it is not right for any believing man or believing woman that when Allah and His Messenger have decreed a matter, that they have any other choice in their affair. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, then he has strayed far away. Shaykh Fawzan said, and the like of these ayahs. So what is obligatory upon you is to follow and to submit and to yield and comply. He said, في جملة الأشياء, in regard to matters, said, meaning in all matters, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveyed from Allah everything which the people need on the matters of their religion, and he made it clear. And Allah completed the religion through him, and there is no good except that he guided his nation to it, and there is no evil except that he warned them from it, and he left them upon the clear white path. Its night is just the same as its day. No one strays away from it except one who is destroyed. And he mentions the final paragraph, وَاسْكُتْ عَمَّا سِوَى ذَلِكَ, and stay silent about whatever is other than that. Stay silent about whatever is beyond that, whatever is other than that. He said, this is just as occurs in the hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَرَضَ فَرَائِدْ فَلَا تُضَيِّئُوهَا وَحَرَّمَ أَشْيَاءَ فَلَا تَنْتَهِكُوهَا وَسَكَتَ عَنْ أَشْيَاءَ رَحْمَةً بِكُمْ غَيْرَ النِّسْيَانِ
فلا تسألوا عنها.
The hadith, Allah has made certain duties obligatory upon you, so do not neglect them. And He has made certain things forbidden for you, so do not commit them. And He has remained silent about some things as a mercy upon you, not forgetting, so do not ask about them. In a footnote they mention, this hadith is reported by Tabarani in Al-Mu'jam al-Kabir, Ad-Darqutni in his Sunan, Al-Hakim, Al-Bayhaqi, and others besides, from a hadith of Abu Tha'laba al-Khushani. And the text of the hadith, the wording, the text of it was declared authentic by Ibn Kathir in his tafsir. And just as a side point here, Shaykh al-Albani declared this hadith, obviously the hadith occurs as number 30 in Imam al-Nawawi's 40 hadith. Shaykh al-Albani declares this hadith to be da'if, weak, in his checking, in his book, Ghayat al-Maram, this hadith number 4. Because he mentioned that the Tabi'i, it's not established, the Tabi'i Makhul heard from the companion Abu Tha'laba, radiallahu anhu. However, Shaykh al-Bani, just before that, in the book, two hadith before that, Shaykh al-Bani declared Hassan, good, and narration with the wording from a hadith of Abu Darda, radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that which Allah has declared lawful in His book, then it is lawful. And whatever He forbade, then it is what is forbidden. And whatever He remains silent about, فَهُوَ عَفْرٌ, then it is pardon, it is that which He has pardoned. So accept from Allah that which He has pardoned. For Allah does not forget anything. Then he recited the ayah, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا, Surah Maryam, the 19th Surah, ayah 64. The explanation, and your Lord never forgets. The hadith has been reported by Al-Hakim. As we said, Shaykh al-Bani declared it Hassan. And to finish off, back to what Shaykh al-Bazan said, he said, you should not ask about anything except something which you need in your religion or your worldly life. And min husni Islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni, from the excellence of a person's Islam is his leaving off that which is not his concern. He said, as for that which you do not need, you do not have need of, then asking about it is from the superfluous matters, extra, unnecessary matters. Asking about things you don't have need of. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade qil wa qal, forbade loose, it was said, and he said, loose conveying of useless speech. He forbade qil wa qal, and asking too many questions, asking too much, and wasting wealth. I mentioned in a footnote the hadith, this hadith is reported, قِيل وَقَال, he forbade قِيل وَقَال, it was said, conveying unverified reports, forbade that, and asking too much and wasting wealth. They say the hadith reported by Al-Bukhari, and the reference for Al-Bukhari should be hadith 2408, and reported by Muslim as hadith 593, from hadith of Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu. Shaykh al-Fawzan finished by saying, so your questions should be in accordance with the level of your need, and do not ask about that which you do not have a need of. Alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.